Wednesday evening, 12/27/23. We're going to look at, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood tonight. Okay, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I really didn't find anything on wrestle in the Strong's, but I looked in the Vines, and it's P-A-L-E. I don't know if that's pale or pale or whatever. It's the spiritual conflict engaged in by believers. Yeah, just, you know, we're wrestling. I mean, we are. We're wrestling. Not with people, but spirits. It's what the scripture says. And I want to read to you a story in the Old Testament. Had never thought about it this way, but I thought, I see that. This is Genesis chapter 32. I'll start with verse 1 there. Now you have to realize in this instance here, Jacob is leaving the land of his father-in-law and he is coming home. He's the heir. He's coming home. And Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now, if you read the book of Jasher, in the book of Jasher, it says there were three or four different types of things that happened. I need to read it again because I forget exactly. But he was coming hard and heavy after Jacob. And he planned to do him harm. But he was intercepted by angelic hosts and things. By the time he got to Jacob, he had mellowed. Like I said, I can't remember. I wish I'd have read it today. I can't remember everything that happened. It says, "And he commanded him, saying, Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob, saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Does it sound like he's up to something? 400 men? Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Now sayest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed is the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So basically, he's getting the blessing of Abraham, you know, passed from Abraham to Isaac to now Jacob, which is Israel. "And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present from Esau, his brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals, and he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said unto his servants, pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when he saw my brother meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither thou goest thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. He rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince hast thou power with God, with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. All right. This is what the Lord said to me. This is not an angel of the Lord. It's not an angel of the Lord. I don't care how they translated it. The Lord said, this is not an angel of the Lord. And he said, I won't let you go till you bless me. Well, the angel basically said, you've won, you've prevailed. He beat the angel. But the angel smote him in his thigh. Injured him. Concede. The angel had to concede. He had to say, yes, you are. Y'all see that? I hope you do. Our enemy is never flesh and blood. It is always Satan and his entities. Their agenda is to divide and conquer, and we see it plainly in the current world that we live in. If we fight amongst ourselves, then Satan just sits by and watches us destroy each other. How have they divided us? Satan's greatest tool against us is division. Take your frustration out on the devil instead of people. Romans 12:21 out of the Amplified says, do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good. See, we're heirs, heirs of God, heirs according to the promise, just like Jacob was an heir of Abraham. Now, by faith, we are heirs of Abraham. They're inheritors of that blessing. And we're wrestling with these entities, just like Jacob did, along with his brother, and now this. I can't see that an angel of God would smite him. Do you? All right. This morning, while I was reading my Bible, the Holy Spirit gave me this phrase. I will be using it in my giving letter to my partners. Love opens the door in 2024. I think that's profound. If we get this, we will not fail at anything that God sets before us to do. All right, go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. This is 3, verse 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, this is the church of brotherly love, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. It's really the only church that didn't get a rebuke. So how do we love? No matter what, you know? We have to. We have to make a decision that we're going to love. We're going to choose love no matter what. No matter what someone's done to us or didn't do to us. All right. Treat people like they're already the way that you want them to be, not the way they are. Whether they do right or wrong, you take the high ground. That's what love does. Love will take the high ground. We got to experience that this weekend, didn't we, or during Christmas? All right, Jesus said a few things about it. We're going to read a few scriptures here. The first one's in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So how are we going to be perfect like our Father? Taking the high ground. All right, Strong's perfect means completeness. Sometimes just treating others with respect is all that's needed. All right, flip over Matthew 24. It's not going to be a long teaching, but it's a profound one, I believe. Starting with verse 1 there. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war, so that ye be not troubled, for all these must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Sounds like where we live, doesn't it? Today. On the social media platforms, we see so much division and nastiness going on, even but amidst the followers or the truthers. Jealousy or whatever, accusing, a lot of accusations going on. I hate it. All right, 1 John. chapter 2. Well, we're going to start here. Let's just read chapter 2. It's good. It says, my little children, verse 1, these things write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, is not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. He that keeps his word. What is Satan going after more than anything right now in our society? The world, the word. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. He that saith is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I don't need to read that part. Go down here, 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of God is not the love of the world is just the opposite of the love of God. It acts just the opposite. All right, sounds like walking in love is doing more for the giver than the receiver of it. You walk in love for your benefit, not just theirs, your benefit. When you walk in love by the royal law and the golden rule, you loose God into the situation, and when you loose love, you loose God. All right, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is. I wish I'd have brought my Amplified up here because I really like it because it goes into more detail. Is there one up here? I think, yeah, that is one back there. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's my old one. One of my old ones.
No, that's mine.
Oh, is that yours? I gave it to you. Okay, well, it's yours then. I know it looked familiar. All right. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as it is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith, so I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I'm nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, never boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? All right. James 2:8. If ye fulfill the... excuse me, I got to get a drink. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. We are the royals, and we walk like our Savior and Heavenly Father in love, because it will not ever fail. It will never fail. So my challenge to you, if you want to make a New Year's resolution, let it be love. Always think, whatever the situation, I've got to take the high ground. And also, this weekend, I told Danny, I said, we have to set an example before kids, grandkids. You take the high ground. You don't get even. You do the right thing. And I believe when you do the right thing will be done to you. All right.